What's going on, wrestling fans? Welcome to another pay-per-view point edition of the Smark Out Moment Smack Talk Podcast. This is the 2017 Extreme Rules pay-per-view predictions breakdown. We're going to talk about all the matches that have been announced, some that might be announced but aren't quite official yet, what we think is going to win, what's going to be the best matches, the worst matches, anything else we want to talk about with that. And we are myself, as always, the host, Tony Mango. We've also got Steven Wago.
I'm back.
And like Callum Wiggins.
10 minutes ago.
We're recording this.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. Let's host a event called Extreme Rules 20 years after the word extreme lost all relevance in wrestling.
Well, maybe if they just take the E off and it starts off with just the X, it can get that edge factor, you know?
Motherfucker, we got like a match on this card where the whole point is not to get, if you get disqualified, you lose. Fucking Extreme Rules my ass.
Well, Team Extreme's back in the company, so that's why it's Extreme Rules.
Yeah, but they're different. They spelt it with an X.
They're the ones booking the whole thing backstage. Team Extreme Rules. That's what it's going to be. That's why it's going to be all weird-ass gimmicks and stuff. Like, what was that thing that Peter had brought up in the mailbag? Something, the Hardy's Revenge match or something, where it's like weapons dangling from a fountain or some bullshit.
Just have all the matches take place in the compound. In their little North Carolina home.
Then they do a little crossover, like somebody drives by and it's like that house from the House of Hardcore thing, or House of Horrors.
You can have a dilapidated boat match, where the idea is to get the boat and sail as far away from the company as possible.
Well, we have no pre-show match right now. We're recording this Wednesday afternoon, so there still is time for them to announce something, and I got to assume they're going to announce something, but it could be a wide range of different topics. I mean, it could be Apollo Crews or Titus O'Neil against Kalisto. It could be something to do with the Enzo Amore being attacked storyline. Maybe Goldust versus R-Truth. Out of the different options of what you'd like to do, there's other availabilities too and stuff. What would you guys like to see on the pre-show? I would go with Goldust versus R-Truth.
I think that has the most potential just because the feud's been built up for a few weeks. I think if that match were to happen, Goldust should definitely win because he's finally getting back to his old heel standards of the interesting promos, the director's chair. I think it works for him. I think he could actually have a decent final run. R-Truth, who cares?
Well, ideally, it'd be Goldust and R-Truth on the pre-show, pretty much echoing all the same points as Callum is. I like Goldust right now, doing something old but different. Be a great opening match, considering they haven't built it up all too much.
It's quite weird, because it's the most, it's one of the most intriguing feuds. And the other two intriguing feuds from the most recent episode of Raw were the Corey Graves, like private investigator thing that he's got going on, and the Enzo attacks, and none of those things are being presented on this show. So it just seems like we're getting all the big matches that have been built up, but they're nowhere near as intriguing.
This show is suffering from a gunshot wound from the Superstar shakeup still. Then in addition to Braun Strowman's injury, I think their plans have just become completely terrible, and they're panicked, and they've made some of the worst decisions they could.
Honestly, as much as I keep saying this point, and I know that you're going to disagree to a certain extent, I think Brock Lesnar not being there is also a hindrance. If he could have been, instead of Great Balls of Fire, if he would have been here for Extreme Rules, that would have at least built something up that people would have been like, oh, Brock Lesnar is popping up.
Here's the counter argument for that. All right, let's just say Brock Lesnar isn't there and the championship is still on one of the other guys. You can still do exactly the same matches that you're doing now, except there's a magical belt there. Doesn't make the match any more important.
Well, they would have been able to split things up a little bit different, I think, because we wouldn't have had the Fatal 5-Way. It would have been
But they should. You don't need to do the Fatal 5-Way anyway.
No, you don't. Well, I mean, so we kind of argued this kind of point a couple of weeks ago about the whole thing. Like, it's weird that they're doing this. You have less.
They shouldn't be doing this. You should have multiple single matches and find Roman a new opponent. It's simple.
Yep,
I agree with Wago about. I don't think Lesnar would make too much of an impact on this show. I think Braun Strowman's loss is the biggest hindrance for the Extreme Rules card.
Yeah, because we were going to get that ambulance match. That was going to be the big headliner.
Yeah, and you had no idea who was going to win that. And it could have led to Strowman facing Lesnar for the title. Just essentially Strowman being such a focal point for Raw and then getting injured for as long as he has just completely derailed their plans. I think they actually have an idea of what they want Lesnar to do, even at SummerSlam at this point.
There's certain points when WWE has lulls where I just like to tell all the listeners that disagreed with me, I told you so. The draft, I fucking told you so.
It does hurt them. Because when they have everybody right that they can work with, the draft doesn't seem like a problem. But if they lose like one or two people, they end up going into panic mode. Because it's like they do try to balance it out where it's like what would they do on SmackDown if they lost AJ Styles right now? They'd be fucked.
And people would like to counterpoint that with, like, they like to present this argument with, well, WWE has more wrestlers now than they ever have. Okay, and it doesn't matter unless the wrestlers mean something.
Exactly.
You can give me 200 James Ellsworth. It doesn't mean that I've got fucking cards filled up for years. It means I've got a business that's going down the fucking drain.
It was also the perfect opportunity with this injury to, like you say, not have the Fatal 5-Way. Could have had some sort of tournament to try and have people fight to earn the right to face Brock Lesnar. It just seems like they're just thrown together five guys. Admittedly, five of the most over guys they have, but they haven't earned their way into it.
Shit, most you know what they could have done? They could have had a Fatal 5-Way on Monday Night Raw, and they could have said the winner of this match gets, like, advanced placement to the finals of a tournament that we're going to do at Extreme Rules. And then the four people that aren't in there, say it's like Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt and Seth Rollins versus Samoa Joe, the winners of those two matches at Extreme Rules go on and we have a triple threat in the finals of Extreme Rules. You could have gotten four matches out of that, basically.
I'm saying this is the Extreme Rules card we have, and we have all three members of the Shield on one roster. Bullshit.
Yeah.
A six-match strong card, a tournament would just fill it up a little bit more, and we wouldn't have to be guessing about which one of Goldust or Apollo Crews or Kalisto is going to be filling up the gaps on the kickoff show.
Well, also, I mean, we've got a match on this card that screams pre-show, and it's on the main card. The Noam Dar, Alicia Fox versus Sasha Banks, Rich Swann one. Nobody gives a shit about that, I'm pretty sure.
Like, TV match.
I'm glad to see that there's at least a little bit of, like, flexibility that they want to do a crossover. It's not just Dar versus Swann again. But this is, like, the epitome of a bathroom break for most people.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think that it's a bit of an issue that Sasha Banks is in such a state of flux at the moment. Because I assume they had ideas about turning a heel against Bayley and then feuding over the title, but then decided to move Alexa Bliss over instead to fill that heel role when Charlotte left. And now they're just left out of nowhere. Rich Swann was thrown into a feud with Noam Dar because he's the other black guy on the cruiserweight division when Cedric Alexander got injured. So that's the only thing that I can see as the reason for it. They just thought, oh, yeah, you look fairly similar to him. You go into that feud as well.
And
people won't be so confused.
For so fucking long. Like, I'm so sick and tired of this feud. They broke up Alicia Fox and Noam Dar, and they brought them back together again. Like, just because they were like, well, fuck, what do we do now? You know?
I've never found Noam Dar remotely entertaining. I don't care about the 205 division. Just, this match is very skippable.
What would you guys say about the idea that, I was thinking about this last night or so. I mean, it's been one of those things that pops up every now and then, but last night it popped back into my brain again. I really, like, as much as I want 205 Live to exist, and as much as I want the Cruiserweight division to do well and all that, it's really starting to bug me that we're not seeing any of these people able to feud with anybody else. Like, say,
my
Cedric Alexander versus, like, I don't know, fucking Aiden English or something. You know what I mean? Where it's like, the
issue is you run the risk of muddying the waters with the guys that are kind of on the cusp. You could argue that Dean Ambrose is a cruiserweight.
Yeah, people like Finn Balor fits into it. Seth Rollins does.
Okay, like Dean and Seth would be on the bigger side. Finn is easily a cruiserweight to the point they don't even announce his weight when he comes to the ring anymore.
They don't?
Nope.
They don't want people to
know because it's fucking a gleaming hole.
I mean, they don't even put Kalisto in the cruiserweight, and he doesn't even have the excuse that he's a main eventer.
Yeah, it's like 195 pounds, I think Balor is. I could be off on that, but that dude is easily a 205er. I don't like
190.
The issue is if you're going to do weight classes, you have to be real strict with them. I'm fine with them keeping them independent from the rest of the roster. If they want to get rid of the cruiserweight title and merge it with the rest of the division and have them feud for the IC belt, totally down with that. The Miz could work some great programs with a lot of those guys. Like a 1 month program with Jack Gallagher and The Miz, that'd be funny.
Yeah. Brian Kendrick versus Dean Ambrose in a feud.
That'd be great.
That'd be a whole lot of fun. You got
there's a bunch TJP of different things you can do.
Some crazy shit with some different people. Like,
I'm not a fan of having extra titles. And if you are going to have a cruiserweight division, you kind of have to do what they've done. That, or you've got to. I think the easiest thing if you want to keep the cruiserweight title is move them to SmackDown because you're fucking recording after then anyway. And just fucking move all the SmackDown women over to Raw. I'd have two separate divisions.
I guess slightly differently. I think that the cruiserweight shouldn't be on any of the main shows altogether, because I think their idea is they're trying to show them off to casual audiences in order to try and get people to buy the network to see 205 live, and that clearly isn't working because less and less people are watching the main shows, and 205 live is one of the least watched like live shows on the network at the moment.
Are you going to say move it to NXT?
No, I'm saying just move it to the network, make it exclusive to the network. Like the Cruiserweight Classic was exclusive to the network.
So you mean don't even show them on Raw and pay-per-view?
Yeah, just put them on 205 Live.
Just keep that. Other than the fact that it does kind of hurt the idea of like people not getting a little bit of exposure to it, the other downside is then they have less matches that they can run on Raw, and that 3 hour thing is like, that kills them. SmackDown's pretty tight. That show tends to do pretty well. That third hour on Raw, they're like, they struggle without that cruiserweight division, you know?
They struggled before it, though. Yeah. They still struggle with it. And they're not good at writing a 3 hour show. Do you want to know why? Because people aren't good at writing 3 hour wrestling shows because there's never been a good 3 hour wrestling show.
Tamina even took a shot recently. She posted something, I think it was last night, maybe it was the night before, whatever. She was like, amazing how the SmackDown writers know how to use all their women on the same show. And it was just that's funny.
And Nia Jax did something similar to that as well. They talk about, wow, a SmackDown women's Money in the Bank match. It's great that how SmackDown is utilizing all of their women and stuff like that. So taking a dig at the fact that she hasn't appeared on Raw since the 1st of May, I think.
They're afraid the rung will break under you.
Oh, was Nia that did it, not Tamina?
Yeah, I think it was Nia.
That makes it even funnier then, because she's like on Raw talking about how Raw sucks.
No, it's Fat Tamina.
Fat Tommy, no. Going back to a point from before, though, if we do address either of the other storylines today, for some reason, they're struggling so much with the writing aspect of WWE right now, but they decided to throw in Enzo gets attacked and somebody is ragging on Kurt Angle. I would assume both of these should be a factor somewhere at Extreme Rules, but maybe not necessarily both. At the very least, the Kurt Angle one, I think, will be. But maybe backstage in the pre-show, Enzo gets attacked or something. But if you guys think that they are going to address these, how do you think that they're going to go ahead and do it?
So what's going to happen? Like
Corey Graves showing another fucking tweet or something?
So the end game for the Kurt Angle angle, is that it's going to be his twin brother that won the Olympic Games this whole time, and that's what he's worried about getting out. Do you remember that fucking dweeb they bought out for Undertaker to beat up?
Isn't his twin brother a murderer?
I don't think his brother was a murderer. God damn, really?
I thought his brother had been arrested for something. I might be mixing it up. That may not be his twin brother, but it was definitely one of his brothers had been arrested for a potential murder charge or something.
Eric Angle. Yeah,
what?
Oh, no, last thing I found is that he hit a rehabilitation center after wrestling.
Ah, okay.
So that runs in the family.
Yeah. In regards to both the angles, I think the angle one is leading to Stephanie McMahon coming back.
Yeah.
Because I assume she'll be the person that has this sort of dirt on him. So I don't think that'll be addressed in great detail. on the show, maybe one backstage segment. I think the Enzo thing could run a little bit more. I think that could feature about in two or three different segments.
The idea of Cass turning on him, Big Cass can really benefit from that.
I mean, it's predictable, I think, the Big Cass would be, but that doesn't mean it would be bad. I'm kind of hoping that it's neither the Revival or Big Cass, but someone else that Corey Graves is bringing in. Just because I think that Corey Graves can work both as a commentator and as a heel manager.
I don't want him to be a heel manager. I mean, don't make me wrong, he could do it. I just don't like my characters and announcers being mixed going between.
I'm at a point where I hate it that I have to admit it, but I really don't care who attacked Enzo. Like, if it's Big Cass, I'm like, well, okay. You do the thing where it's like, you like the big guy, so you turn him and you give him a singles run. Well, now you just killed one of the main tag teams. And then if it's the Revival, then you just kind of drag out a storyline like that. If it's Heath Slater and Rhino and they turn heel, then I don't fucking care about that. It's sort of like, I can't imagine a scenario that they really do that gets me, like, excited. You know?
You wouldn't be pumped for Big Cass just fucking turning heel on him in a tag match one day when they going after the Revival and revealing it was him and then getting a big fucking singles run? I'd be down. Don't need more heels.
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. It kind of depends.
I'd be worried about the state of the tag team thing because it's already thin enough as it is.
Right. And just how you, by the way, how you feel about Enzo is how the fucking rest of the world feels about the New Day.
New Day's great.
Great is sucking.
Hey, they actually sell merch. That's one positive.
Not right now.
Well, they just came back. Apparently, you can't even buy the Big E's package shirts anymore on TeePublic. So, fucking jerks taking that down.
Told you they weren't selling shit.
We never gave our predictions for the mixed tag match. So, I mean, it doesn't really matter. I don't think anybody really cares, but I'm going to go with... Banks and Swan. Fuck it.
Well, that said, I didn't give my prediction for Goldust or R-Truth either. I'm going with Goldust. For this one, I'm going with Sasha and Rich Swan.
Yeah, Sasha and Rich Swan just have the babyfaces win because nobody cares about this feud.
Yeah. I think that they might have the babyfaces win just to split them up.
The following contest is scheduled for one fall to bring you down before the main event.
The following contest is in the bathroom. Or the concession stand, depending on where you are. Man, I could go for a hot dog right now. We just talked about the 205 Live situation, but that kind of takes us a little bit more into the Cruiserweight Championship submission match, Neville versus Austin Aries, if you haven't gotten tired of seeing this feud yet, because it's been every single week on Raw and on 205 Live for 2 months now.
Since before WrestleMania.
I like Neville and his role, and I like Austin Aries, but Jesus Christ, I am so sick and tired of this feud. It's been the same promo every single time. It's Neville going, nobody's on my level, I'm the king of the cruiserweights, and Austin Aries going, yeah, well, fuck you, pal. Every fucking week. Like, oh my God, I'm so sick and tired of this. But I hope it's over, so I'm actually rooting for Neville. Because I kind of think that at this point, if Austin Aries wasn't able to pull off something better with this Neville thing, I kind of don't want him as the champion. I sort of want to see Neville retain it and lose it to Cedric Alexander.
Austin Aries is a heel. That's why it's not very good that he's a babyface right now. It's very hard to get sympathetic for someone that you normally cackle at because he's being an asshole to people. Neville honestly deserves to be the champion still. I think he's going to be the champion coming out of this. The king, I think they like doing this King Neville gimmick, and he can't really be the king without a crown.
Well, maybe he just goes to Burger King and gets a crown afterward.
It's actually an MMA fighter called, you know King Mo, right? Muhammad Law, the guy that fought in, the guy that was in TNA for a while.
Sounds kind of familiar, but I can't really place it.
Yeah, he has all his fans get, because he's called King, all his fans come to the arena in Burger King crowns.
Callum, what do you got for the submission match?
I like the stipulation, just along the lines that it fits into both of their main finishing moves at the moment, so it's good to see that one of them will end up tapping after Neville. cheated his way out of the last match, but I'm not too interested in the feud just because it's run so long. But I think Aries is going to win just because you can't go through two matches, not win the title, and then come to the third match and lose again as well. It doesn't make him look good, unless he's going to be turning heel off the back of it and be like some baby face like Jack Gallagher or Rich Swann tries to get him to see the funny side of this and he turns on them after losing again. I think it's time for Aries to take the title.
I'm kind of thinking he does turn heel. I wouldn't be shocked at all if we get like, because they've been setting up this whole idea of his leg or his ankle or something like that being hurt. So that's kind of an out a little bit where like maybe like TJP comes in and sort of influences the match and hurts Aries a little bit more. Neville kind of gets to make him tap out because he's got like his leg wrenched up in something or whatever. And then Aries can turn heel and it can be either Jack Gallagher that faces him, or if this whole Rich Swann Noam Dar thing finally ends, maybe they move on to the Swann. Maybe they move on to Akira Tozawa, because Tozawa doesn't have a feud right now. And then we have sort of like Neville, TJP, not really as much like Aria Davari and Drew Gulak. Like they're kind of doing like grunt work. Tony Nese too is another guy that's like, they have like the heels kind of right now, but Austin Aries isn't working as a babyface. I agree with you, Wago. He needs to be a heel again, so.
I agree with me too.
I think either whether he wins or loses the title, I think he'll be a heel by SummerSlam.
That's a good, yeah. It might be Aries wins and then moves on to feud with the babyfaces with the title like that. It might be. Wago, you mentioned this ahead of time, that this is a strange thing to have in an Extreme Rules pay-per-view where you can't get disqualified or else you're going to lose the title, which is the Intercontinental Championship match, Dean Ambrose against The Miz. I think you don't set up a stipulation like that unless you're going to do it. I think The Miz is going to walk out with the title.
Yep. And pretty much, like, we saw it with Kurt Angle, sorry, not Kurt Angle, saw it with Randy Orton and Christian. I think we've seen it before. It's going to happen. It's really fucking lame. If you don't, like, there's plenty of ways that you can have The Miz get the title without making Dean Ambrose look weak.
I don't know why they decided to build up this feud, building up to a pay-per-view called Extreme Rules. Why couldn't they have done this before Payback or something like that, when Dean Ambrose wasn't even wrestling on the show? Couldn't they have built it up in the meantime after he'd been traded onto Raw? This is a kind of, Dean Ambrose is at his best in an environment where disqualifications are out the window, where he can have a bit of fun with props and weapons. And now he's in a stipulation where if he does hit a low blow on The Miz or anything along those lines, he loses his title and loses the match as well. I don't like the timing of it. The feud itself I've actually enjoyed, mainly due to The Miz being very good on the microphone, as per usual. And the actual concept of the disqualification is good if it wasn't based on this pay-per-view, which makes it seem ridiculous. And I believe The Miz will be walking out with the title, but I don't think he'll lose it on disqualification. He'll win it on disqualification. I think he'll win it by a pinfall.
My guess, just like there's no reports about this kind of thing, it's just kind of me sort of assuming a couple things here and there. With the fact that they're really trying hard to drag things out, and they clearly either have no creativity going on that's working right now, or they don't want to try. I'm thinking they are doing this because they want Ambrose to lose the title by disqualification, and then at Great Balls of Fire, they do some kind of no DQ match. Then by SummerSlam, The Miz moves on and feuds with somebody else. Maybe it's like Miz against like Seth Rollins or maybe Finn Balor, kind of depending on who's going to end up facing Brock Lesnar and such.
They fight off in the next pay-per-view in a Great Balls of Fire match, which is essentially dodgeball, but with flaming balls.
I wouldn't be shocked at that point. They got to figure out some way to justify that fucking name. But like that could be the kind of thing where it's like Ambrose is just kind of like, yeah, well, I lost it because I wasn't in my environment, and I challenge you to an asylum match or something. Like,
I just want the bell to ring, Maurice to run in, kick Miz in the dick, and they can just walk out with the title.
That'd be great. I would be totally down for that. She just immediately slaps the Miz. It's a DQ. It'd be perfect. And Dean Ambrose is just like, what the fuck? And it's like,
at least it would be something different.
And then, you know, what? If you want to have fun with that, you do that immediately, and then you have a brawl between the two if you need the time to get eaten up. Then Ambrose can do that kind of crazy shit.
If you do it at the start of the show, you can have the brawl be throughout the entire arena, make it very much Stone Cold beating the shit out of Booker T, but dotted around.
I would go maybe one further. I'd envision a scenario where Maurice slaps the Miz, Miz wins the title, and then Kurt Angle comes out and says, right, now we're going to have a no disqualification match for the Intercontinental title, and then you have Dean Ambrose win it back immediately.
Oh, I hope they don't do that. I don't like the hot potato thing.
Yeah, I also don't like the idea of, oh, I'm just going to restart the match. Fuck you.
And then he goes, wait a minute, I got another text. Who the fuck says I'm besmirching the fucking brand? Corey, oh my god.
Besmirch was weird.
It stood out. It was.
Yeah, I'm just like, regal?
That's a writer's word.
I used the word sanctimonious the other day, and I was kind of like, yeah, I'm a douche. Every so often, I use one of those $5 words, and it's just kind of like, clearly, like, somebody backstage was just like, I would have worked besmirched into this.
<You know? laughs> I was going to say, I wrote the word, like, erroneous twice today, and I felt dirty about it.
It's actually funny that the word besmirched is, like, known for William Regal. It's just such a random word to have, like, known after you.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, everybody gets, like, their sort of shit. Like, that thing that, what was it, fucking Funaki used to do?
Indeed.
Yeah. If you'd be like, all right, what, for an ask him, like, who says indeed? People would be like, oh, Funaki. And it's like, anybody could, you know? Ah, shit. Unfortunately, we gotta talk about this match. I totally forgot about it. The Raw Women's Championship Kendo Stick and a Pole match. Alexa Bliss versus Bayley. Jeez, this was awful segment. Yeah. Oh,
I wouldn't be surprised if they put the belt on Bayley just either to punish Alexa because they can't see that they just gave her shit material, or that they go into panic mode and want to get some, I guess, fuck, enthusiasm into this feud again.
Peyton was trying to say that this was like, well, see, Alexa Bliss sucks on the mic and all that. I agree with you, Wago. They gave her shit material.
Well, she did the best she could with absolutely nothing to work with. The fact that she was had to stand out there for 15 minutes with that amount of material, the stupid props, these characters.
You put Charlotte in there, I guarantee the segment would have bombed even more.
Yep. You put anyone in there, would have worked. Wouldn't have worked.
Bliss is the best on the microphone in the women's division by a country mile, and she couldn't save this segment. It was terrible writing. It was a situation where they decided to be like jokey and funny with it by essentially saying that Bailey's a child and she's never kissed a boy and she's a loser because she's a wrestling fan. They threw that in there as well to try and bury their own product even more.
I did like, though, how she was like, I don't want to hear that story again about how she always wanted to be a wrestler. Like, we've heard that fucking ad nauseum or whatever. And it was like, oh, thank God. I really didn't want to hear that whole
That always gets put thing. On Bayley, but honestly, I think it's worse with Sasha Banks.
Anybody that does that over and over again.
Yeah, but you literally have to listen to her make the same fucking promo with the same crying in the same areas of the dialogue. Fuck, ugh.
I was inspired by people like Eddie Guerrero.
Always Eddie. No one else would ever inspired her.
Right.
I'm struggling to think of any superstar, male or female, that's been booked as badly since coming up from NXT as Bayley has. Even her title win was really hollow and forgettable, and it was booked so poorly because essentially she won it from Charlotte in a match which Charlotte lost her pay-per-view winning streak and nobody cared about it. then defended it at WrestleMania in a match that was too short and nobody really cared about too much, and then lost it immediately to Alexa Bliss afterwards.
It really should have been her winning the title at WrestleMania.
Exactly.
I never understood why she won it at the Rumble.
No, she won it.
She won it at Raw, I think. Right?
Fastlane. She won it.
She won it at the pay per view. She broke the pay per view streak early before Mania. That's why everyone was pissed.
No, she was champion going into the Fastlane match.
I'm pretty sure she won it on Monday Night Raw, then beat Charlotte on the pay per view afterward to retain.
Oh, that's even fucking dumber.
Yep. Because that was the time where I was saying, all right, if they do this for the fourth time, where Charlotte loses it on Raw and wins it back at the pay per view,
I like how so many people were saying, oh, it's just great that Bayley won the title. People shouldn't be shitting on the fact that she didn't win it at WrestleMania, because she still won the title, so it's great. But now they're looking back and think, yeah, it was a really stupid mistake.
Mm-hmm.
It was such an easy thing to do as well. It was a story that was written itself, and they still fucked themselves out of it.
And this Alexa Bliss and Bayley thing writes itself, too. Like, Bayley's character is somebody who's very sensitive and a sweet girl, and Alexa Bliss is the mean bitch. Like, all you gotta do is have her come out there, be a mean bitch, and Bayley to be like, my feelings are hurt. And you're done. You don't need to have this whole, like, we're gonna have Mrs. Flapper come out and talk about how she had her dad in class. It was like,
Bayley is very easy to write for. You pick on her, you make her lose constantly, she does the sad puppy dog eyes, and then one day she gets angry, and that's when she fights.
Yep, worked in the next day.
Gotta just do it each time. It might sound repetitive, but guess what? She's a white meat baby face. That's what you do.
She is Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Book her like Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn loses.
She's very much Sami Zayn, but I think she has the potential to be the Cena of the women's division just because of how much she appeals to kids.
She's far above Sami Zayn as far as, like, popularity. Like, not like just in terms of, you know, the women's division or so, but she's like one of the top earners for merchandise.
So, yeah, you can't book her as that super character, at least not quite yet, maybe in the future, but she's very much like really appeals to that demographic.
And yet they're making her out as like a character that essentially one of them, which I don't think is making her out to be like aspirational for children or anybody really. Bayley should be a character that can be like show determination and show that you can fulfill your dreams and make it somewhere in whatever field you're interested in. And yet she's being presented as a loser at every opportunity.
That's actually a really good point, which I think people miss out on. Bayley's very relatable. She does come off as that everyday person. So when she does overcome something, it's like, oh yeah, one of us did it. That was the issue with Cena. They tried to make him relatable to everybody, but he wasn't.
Mm.
You've actually got the genuine article with Bayley. So they got to be fucking careful.
And I do agree that Bayley should be losing more often than she's winning, because she is an underdog and she isn't presented as technically superior in the ring as some other wrestlers. But you can't just keep constantly hammering home the fact that she's not worth anything, or she's because she's like a fan, she's a loser, because you're both having a go at your own fans and pushing her further down.
You should be telling your fans, yo, look, if you do go about it the right way, you can become a superstar like Bayley, and she's still overcoming all these fucking big obstacles, but she's doing it because of the support of you. But then it's like, nope, she's a fucking shithead fan, just like all of you, and she's going to look completely weak during the whole thing.
And this match isn't going to do these two any favors, too, because I have more faith that the match will be good than what this feud has been, but the match itself is still like, they put no effort into this. It was like, well, we've got Extreme Rules coming up. What do? I don't know, like a kendo stick match? All right, well then how do we do that? Alexa uses a kendo stick randomly, and then they go, how about a kendo stick match? Yeah, sure, fuck it, fine not. They do this all the time. TLC and Extreme Rules are the two worst pay-per-views when it comes to this, because it's like, we've got TLC coming up in a few weeks. We want to do a ladder match and a chairs match and a TLC match, which is just a fucking ladder match. Pissing me off. But so let's try to do a chairs match. How do we bring out a chairs match? Somebody starts using a chair and somebody else, and then they do it every fucking year. They did it with the stairs with Big Show and Eric Rowan. They do it with ladders. They do it with tables, whatever. And kendo stick match, how do we build that up? One person pulls out a kendo stick, which they still have never justified. Why are there Singaporean canes under the fucking ring? It doesn't make any sense.
I have a theory that
makes sense. Trash cans even make sense, you know?
I have a theory that Sandman still lives under the ring, and he's just carrying those around with him. He just sleeps under the ring because he's homeless now.
He might be. I have no faith in this being all that great. I think this is going to be one of those matches where it's incredibly frustrating because it keeps being like Bayley keeps trying to climb up to get the Singapore cane. Alexa Bliss pulls her down. They wrestle for a minute. Alexa Bliss goes up. She tries to get it. Bayley pulls her down, whatever.
You know what? The sad part about this match is it's probably all going to go downhill when the gimmick gets involved.
Mm. This is the thing I hate most about pole matches, and there are a lot of things to hate, but it's the idea that the person who ends up grabbing the whatever the weapon or prop is in the match isn't going to be the one who uses it. And that just pisses me off, because that's used all the time in these matches.
I've never understood weapon or pole. It's like, all right, so it's no disqualification, so if I hit you with a chair, am I getting DQ'd?
Right.
If I hit you in the balls, am I getting DQ'd? If I grab the weapon that you grabbed first, am I getting DQ'd? They're never really fucking specific on this.
No.
Or, like, is it like, do I reach the kendo stick and I win? Like a ladder match with a belt?
Or like every other type of pole match where there's an item on it where you win it by getting it?
Yeah, flag on a pole match. Although they did do that one flag match.
Oh my god, where it was just a singles match where the winner gets to pose with his flag.
Yeah, that was so bad. Who was it? Was it Swagger and
Rusev? Rusev and Swagger.
Jeez, that was like... You gotta assume somebody bumped their head when they were fucking writing that one.
I remember we all shouting it.
So maybe it's gonna be the winner of this Alexa Bliss and Bayley match gets to pose with a kendo stick.
By their logic, yeah.
You know, what the hell? I'd watch Alexa Bliss pose with a stick. Why not?
Anyway, I think Alexa Bliss wins it.
Me too. Same. Yeah.
Yeah, she better. At the very least, she fucking better. The Raw Tag Team Championship match should be a little bit more interesting, though. That's a steel cage match. Hardy Boys against Sheamus and Cesaro. Ugh. And I don't know who's going to win this one. I keep going back and forth. I keep thinking, you know what? I think that they rushed the Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson thing away from Hardy Boys because they knew that they were going to do this heel turn and that they might want to put the titles back on Sheamus and Cesaro.
I think Sheamus and Cesaro are winning the belts back here. I'm just not looking forward to this match. I don't like tag cage matches. Very little room for you to get anything done. You basically have to cut off half the ring to wrestle in the entire time. The entire match is going to consist of a 2-on-1 beatdown while the other Hardy boy's sitting in the corner. Then they'll switch to him and rinse and repeat. At some point, Jeff Hardy's going to jump off the top of the cage. I don't get me wrong, it'll have its moments, but overall, this is going to be a pretty boring match, and I expect Sheamus and Cesaro to escape.
Tag team cage matches never really make too much sense to me. Along the lines of, I always like cage matches where the only way you can win is by escaping the cage.
Me too.
I don't think pinfalls or submissions should work, because you might as well just not have a cage in the first place then.
My issue with that is, I'd rather it be pinfall or submission, unless they take the door off.
And you have to climb over it?
Yeah, I don't like the door. I think it's bullshit.
I like the door for two reasons. I like when they do, like, a heel is trying to claw his way out and people drag him back
in. I'm sorry, but I can't suspend my disbelief. I could literally just punch the guy in the face and turn around and win it in 5 seconds.
I really wish that they would do that one time.
It's completely unbelievable. It's completely unrealistic. It's the stupidest attribute they ever... I think the door ruined the cage match, to be honest.
Well, they could do that without the door, too. Like, realistically, they could have a cage match where it's like you can only climb over the top and the people just run to opposite sides and climb.
It's like... Okay, yeah, but it's a lot easier to do that with a door. I can literally get out that door in 2 seconds.
We were talking about how we want the DQ for the Miz thing. I would be fine with them doing that in this match, too. Just like, Sheamus runs towards the Hardy Boys as a distraction, and Cesaro jumps out the door. Then it's like, ha, fuck you. We outsmarted.
You know what? I'd totally be okay with it, just because it would be it'd be logical, it'd be something different, and I don't want to see the match.
I'm going more along the lines of, just because I don't know why this is a steel cage match. Yeah, I know you've said the things about the Alexa Bliss and Bayley Singapore cane thing being a bit too predictable and a bit too what they usually do with... Oh, I'll attack you with a weapon, and so that's what the match is. I don't know what the logic is behind this being a steel cage match. Surely a steel cage is designed to keep people out of the match and make sure that the match has a final conclusive finish. What about these two? What about these two has been somebody like escaping or trying to interfere in the match? There hasn't been. So it's just a steel cage just so we can see Jeff Hardy jump off a high structure.
I guarantee you backstage they were sitting there going, what do we do for Extreme Rules? Well, we got the Hardy Boys, so let's put them in a ladder match. Wait, we just did that at WrestleMania. Fuck.
Yep. Exactly that.
What it is. And then they went, I don't know, steel cage?
And, it was like, and there are also attitudes where if they're around for TLC and we have that pay-per-view for Raw, or they're on SmackDown by then, it's going to be another time to use it.
Yep.
And also they've got Money in the Bank coming up as well, so they don't want to have so many ladder matches and to get
that's on SmackDown, right? So they're not going to be affected by that. I just registered what you meant.
Yeah, no, but it's going like pay-per-view to pay-per-view, so they don't want to have too many of the same type of matches, especially because there's two ladder matches on the Money in the Bank as well.
I would have rather had them do a tables match.
This feud
started off with them throwing each other through the tables or something like that, you know?
But another thing Callum brought up, which I definitely agree with, is that, yeah, the whole point of the cage match is to keep people in and out. Well, this feud's been nothing but direct.
Mm.
They constantly come out each other and charge each other. They've kicked each other's fucking teeth out their mouth. Mm-hmm. This should just be a street fight.
What if it was an Extreme Rules
match? Stop! I ain't doing this shit.
I'd prefer a Falls Count Anywhere match.
God damn it. Hang on, Falls Count Anywhere are different.
Falls Count Anywhere is good. I love Falls Count Anywhere matches. They're more fun than a normal street fight because you can actually get people pinning them in like the middle of the backstage area and stuff. They never want to do those matches anymore.
Depending on the gear, though, you can pin people on top of the Hell in a Cell, so who the fuck knows anymore?
Yeah, and they did that one at WrestleMania 10 where a Falls Count Anywhere match was like, you also had to sort of get to the ring afterward and stuff, and it was like, let me tie up Crush.
The House of Horrors in a ring.
So we got, I'm going with, at least at the moment, Sheamus and Cesaro winning the belts. Who do you guys got?
Same.
Yeah, I'm going Sheamus and Cesaro, mainly due to the fact that I don't think the Hardy Boys have lost a single match since coming back to WWE. So this is just a big build for them to eventually drop the titles to Sheamus and Cesaro.
Although it is kind of weird, if they split up Enzo and Cass and the Hardy Boys lose these titles, what babyface team do you have that can beat Sheamus and Cesaro?
Heath Slater and Rhino. He's got kids, man.
Unless you turn the Revival down the line.
What are you arguing about? You fucking loved Heath Slater and Rhino earlier.
I didn't like Rhino. Okay, I like Heath Slater.
So you didn't like the tag team, but you were happy that they won the tag belts. That makes sense.
No, I actually wanted American Alpha at that point, but I was fine with it.
How about Heath Slater and one of his kids?
Depends on which one.
Yeah, I'm in favor of Slater and Rhino getting a title shot. I like them.
I would have said DIY would be great, but that ain't happening.
What about the Golden Arrow? Yeah, they're gone as well.
Guess you could bring up the Mighty Don't Kneel, because I'm not calling them 785125Z.
Yeah, but if you do that, I don't want them winning those belts. I don't like them. They're boring. They're just generic dudes.
They do kind of hit the vanilla midget button, but so do a lot of guys.
I mean, you've got the Shield on Raw. Why not just have them? That can lend some credibility into the title with two of them win it.
With Dean and Seth falling as hard as they are, that's the duo that never won the tag titles. I wouldn't mind that.
Wouldn't be the strangest thing in the world. That's for sure. We're Apollo Crews and Titus O'Neil. Turn a baby face.
No, you turn the club by making them Chad T. Bad and Tex Ferguson.
You probably actually could turn them.
They would work as a babyface. People like them.
I'd probably be down for that. Honestly, they can kind of like shack up with Finn Balor again if they want to.
You've only got to do one segment backstage with AJ and fucking the club, and fans are going to be like, "Oh yeah, we like them now."
The picture you got, if we do get that down the line, if we do get them turn babyface and they kind of reform with Finn Balor, whether it's like Hell in a Cell or, you know, whatever you want to do. No Mercy, I think, is a Raw brand this year. You get Finn Balor, Gallows, and Anderson against The Shield. It's a main event for you.
That's pretty dope. Be great if fucking Finn and the Bullet Club got back together and Cena gets drafted to Raw, and they do the beat up John Cena stuff again. He's like, oh, what the fuck?
He's like, God damn it, I can't escape this. What the hell? AJ Styles isn't even here anymore. And Finn Balor's just kind of like, Speaking of Finn Balor, though, we do have our main event here, the number one contender's Fatal 5-Way match. It's not an elimination match, right? It's just a regular Fatal 5-Way?
Tony?
A regular Fatal 5-Way. Like, that's a real thing.
You're going to know when they announce it for the match.
Do you think they're going to change it over?
They'll make up their mind on the spot. They don't even know. They never know.
They don't even know who's winning at this point, probably. So how the hell do they think they know the match is going to go at the moment?
At the very least, I think it's down to three people. I don't think that Joe or Wyatt have a chance.
The whole point of a Fatal 4-Way was that, hey, this is non-elimination. And then you'd have a different... I forgot what they called it for when it was an elimination. But yeah, if it's a legit Fatal 5-Way... But it sounds weird to say. Fatal 5-Way. If they have a legit Fatal 5-Way... It should just be one fall, but you're not going to know till the fucking evening. And unfortunately, I think it's very predictable that Finn Balor's winning this.
Fatal 5-Way sounds like the best snuff movie ever.
I don't think it's necessarily going to be Balor. I think it's going to be Rollins.
I think it's probably going to be Rollins as well. I think they're going to build the Balor one a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I guess that could make sense. Plus, then you've got Roman to continue with. Wait, how long's Braun injured?
They've been saying anywhere between, like, that he could be back for SummerSlam or he won't be back for, like, 6 months.
Oh, fuck. I was going to say they could just transition Roman back into Braun when he gets back, but I don't know what Braun's going to be doing. That changes things up. They might pull the trigger and put Roman and Lesnar already.
They won't do that for Great Balls of Fire.
With a fucking name like that, they might have to.
I hope they do. I really want Roman Reigns to win this. And it's hard to kind of say that because I do, to a certain extent, I would rather see, like, Samoa Joe versus Brock Lesnar or something, but I know that Joe's not going to win the title. Reigns, if he wins, he will, I think, win the title. And I don't want to see Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar at all, actually. Like, period. And we've seen Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar, but I got a feeling they're going to go with Seth Rollins because they're going to want to be like, let's keep Reigns and do something else with him for Great Balls of Fire. And then Rollins can lose to Lesnar and it's just like a one pay-per-view off shot before they figure out some other kind of feud for him for SummerSlam, which I think that could be The Miz. And then you got like Samoa Joe against, I don't know, Dean Ambrose in the mix somewhere there. Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt is a feud that they were building towards. I think they're going to go back to that. So I'm going with Rollins winning this, but I'm really, really hoping that it's Roman Reigns.
I still think they're going to pull the trigger on Finn Balor. I hope they don't, just because I'm not interested in seeing the match. Let me ask you something, both of you. Do guys just like seem like a main eventer and not a main eventer to you? Regardless of what position they're in, like they can be in the main event, but they don't feel like a main eventer.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when Jinder Mahal won the title, people were like, wait, a mid-carder won the title? As opposed to, wait, Jinder Mahal's a main eventer now?
I don't know why, but every one of those guys, except for Finn Balor, feels like a main eventer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can go along with that.
I would even argue that at certain times, Bray Wyatt doesn't feel like a main eventer.
That's the one I was on the fence with, but the fact that he had, I think he, even though he lost, fucking as usual, I think he was elevated by that Orton feud.
A little bit. Like, I mean, he did win the title.
So that helped him.
Have a title reign.
That helped him a lot because that was the biggest critique. I mean, fucking eater of pins and he's never had the title either.
Oddly enough, I think it's weird to justify because he's the only one that hasn't won that title, but I think Samoa Joe is number two on that list. I think Roman Reigns is number one, and I'd put Joe over Rollins as being like that. I would buy him being a main eventer more than even Seth Rollins.
Joe has been booked so well since he's gotten back. Like, even when he's been on the losing end of things, like in a brawl or something, he comes out looking somewhat decent. And oddly enough, out of all the fucking guys on the Raw roster, Samoa Joe's the best promo they've got.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I'd agree
never
with...
expected that.
Joe looks like a legitimate tough person, like somebody that you don't want to mess with, and someone who you could stand toe to toe with Brock Lesnar, and you could actually think this is going to be really physical, and Joe could actually pull it off if they, almost as if it was a real fight. Obviously, we know if it was a real fight, who would win that, but you can kind of suspend enough disbelief to think that Joe would have a chance. Whereas any of the other people, Reigns and Lesnar have had a really good match at WrestleMania. Admittedly, it was interrupted by Rollins, which made it even better, but in a completely different way. But they were beating the shit out of each other, and it was a really like intense match. And I want to see it again, but I just don't think it's right to put it straight away. I do agree with you that I do understand, I mean, with the idea that you want Reigns to win so he takes the title off Lesnar, but I think now that you've given Lesnar the Universal title, you can't just waste it away on his first title defense. It just doesn't make any sense. You've kind of made your bed, now you have to lie in it, that type of thing.
At least until, like, Survivor Series or so.
I think SummerSlam could be fair enough.
I don't want to see Finn Balor versus Lesnar, but out of all the guys to be fed to Lesnar, if Lesnar's definitely going to win, probably Finn's the best option.
Well, see, another thing with the Finn Balor option to me that bugs me is, like we were talking a minute ago, you were saying about how Samoa Joe looks like a guy that you can actually buy can put up a fight. I don't buy that Finn Balor can put up a fight against Brock Lesnar. So that means that you either suspend your disbelief enough where Finn Balor's actually fighting Lesnar and it's like, how the hell did Finn Balor put up a better fight than Randy Orton or John Cena in certain cases and stuff? Or you have him just do the same shit that Brock Lesnar's been doing, where Lesnar comes out there and they waste like half an hour building up a match with like the video packages and stuff, and he does 7 German suplexes and pins him in a minute and a half. And then it's like, I'm really getting sick and tired of seeing that. Like, that was fun when it was like, oh shit, this was like a reckoning. But I don't want to see that for the, you know, 17 Brock Lesnar matches in a row. I get that they want to do that because it's like Brock Lesnar beats everybody immediately and he's the fucking man and whatever. But when you make that like weeks of promos building up to it and that's the main event of the night and all that, then I kind of just start going, all right, well, then I'm just going to get my keys and fucking start driving home instead of watching it, you know?
I get that, but I kind of like it. I like some... WWE misses one thing, and that's an air of legitimacy. Ever since MMA's got involved and ever since that they've like just really just not given a fuck about kayfabe. Lesnar adds that little bit of legitimacy. I don't know. It's just like, when Lesnar's music hits, you can actually like hear the life in the room. Well, you're like, everybody finally fucking wakes up. Their assholes pucker when they hear that little first guitar strum on the Titantron, and it feels like there's a legit star in the building. So I'm totally fine with him coming back and demolishing people a few more times.
I do agree with Wago that Lesnar is one of the biggest stars they have, and the fact that he isn't there all the time does add to his special factor. But I don't like, there's something off when he mixes it up with people that are on the roster week in, week out. It just diminishes their ability so much. It makes Lesnar look great, but it then makes everyone else look really poor by comparison. And we have to deal with these people week in, week out. And if we don't think that they've got any shot of taking the title away from Lesnar, then what's the point of even watching them?
Mm-hmm. But don't you want to have a champion that's dominant and destroys everybody? It's kind of the whole point of having a monster champion. That's the issue. People get so mad when these monster characters get stopped and steamrolled by a John Cena or somebody. But at the same time, it's like, well, yeah, the other end is you've got to book them this way. You can't. I feel like, personally for you, Tony, I feel like you want your cake to eat it too.
I agree, but at the same time, what bugs me is, like, we already did it. Like,
it's true.
I don't want to do the same storyline 100 times, and there's only a certain amount of storylines anyway, but, like, Brock Lesnar specifically having a year-long title reign where it goes from, or, like, mostly a year-long title reign where he just only shows up a few times and he beats the hell out of anybody for, like, 2 minutes when he does show up. We did that for a whole thing building up to Roman Reigns at WrestleMania already, and it's like...
Yeah, and it was awesome.
I don't want to see it again. Like, if we hadn't have done it before, I was fine with it before.
Yeah, but you didn't. No, not really. Like, you didn't want to say it the last time. You complained the whole way through the last time. You just don't like Brock. You just don't like having a champion that isn't there, and that's okay. But it doesn't bother me. It didn't. That's what it comes down to.
It bugged me that Lesnar wasn't showing up, but I got the idea that it was like Lesnar holding the title all the time to drop it to Reigns. I was cool with that. And this time around, it's like, well, if he's still just not going to show up, and you're still just going to drop it to Roman Reigns again, it's like, well, you're literally doing the exact same thing again. Like, the only difference for last time around and this time around is Brock Lesnar holds it an extra couple of months, because last time he won it at SummerSlam. This time he won it at WrestleMania, you know?
I'm not sure that the end game is Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar.
No, I don't think
so. There's one article that came out that suggested that, and that's what everybody's been going off on. But that's not necessarily true. And I understand that Paul Heyman cut his little promo, but that doesn't mean it can't happen at Great Balls of Fire. That doesn't mean it can't happen at SummerSlam. Doesn't mean it can't happen at Survivor Series. John Cena versus Roman Reigns, I think, is the end game.
I really hope so. That, to me, is so much more intriguing of a match, whether it's for the title or not. Like, I mean,
and
I don't know
you,
who else they would end up having against Lesnar in the finals for, like, the whole Universal Championship thing if he keeps it all that time, but I totally would be fine with, like, Reigns going in as champion, John Cena winning the Royal Rumble even, and wanting to fight Roman Reigns.
But, like, don't you think it benefits Roman Reigns more to have beaten Brock Lesnar and then go on and face Cena? So I think, honestly, Lesnar holding the title here for a while and then eventually losing it as a SummerSlam or a Survivor Series, I think is a lot more beneficial to Reigns winning it and facing Cena then than it is just hotshot, like dropping it after his first title defense.
I will agree with you on that one. If he doesn't only win it at the Royal Rumble. Like, if they have Reigns beat, they have Reigns beat Lesnar at Survivor Series, and in the meantime, Lesnar fights at Great Balls of Fire, at SummerSlam, and maybe not both things after SummerSlam between that and Survivor Series, because what's the event schedule right now? Actually, they haven't fully released that yet, but it's probably No Mercy and TLC, according to the list that I've got. So you don't need to have Lesnar for Great Balls of Fire, SummerSlam, No Mercy, TLC, and then drop it at Survivor Series. But maybe you have him Great Balls of Fire, SummerSlam, and No Mercy. And it's like he's beaten Balor, he's beaten Rollins, and then he loses to Reigns at Survivor Series. I'd be cool with that.
I don't think the Lesnar thing could seem so stagnant to you too if we weren't in such a lull period of the WWE.
That's what I was going to say. I think that a lot of people are casting the blame onto Lesnar not being there, but it's not Lesnar's fault that the writing's been so terrible, and none of the main eventers stand out as a legitimate competitor to him besides Roman Reigns. And the issue with Reigns is that the audience shits all over anything that he does.
And you magically just picture that title never went to Brock and went to somebody else. Product isn't better.
How about we all agree on this? Title on Braun Strowman equals happy faces.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with that. And that's a fucking... Great. And I just forgot about that element. That's got to be a reality at some point.
I think he should be the person that takes down Lesnar. I do agree that Reigns has to beat Brock Lesnar at some point, just because their match at WrestleMania was inconclusive. And I think it helps Reigns to defeat Lesnar, probably more than even beating The Undertaker at WrestleMania helped or hindered, depending on your point of view, Roman Reigns.
Well, honestly, I don't think the win over Taker was a big deal anymore. It was a big deal when Lesnar did it.
Mm.
I think it was bigger.
What, Lesnar?
Lesnar one was bigger.
Significantly bigger. The streak was already dead. Everybody already assumed Reigns was winning this match.
Yep.
So Reigns needs to beat Lesnar at some point. Whether it's for the title or not, he needs to actually get a legitimate win.
Yeah,
because
he didn't know it the first time.
Yep.
But I do think Rollins is getting this title shot. I don't think they're going to cut the Reigns yet. I hope so. And I would even rather have, like, just for the hell of it, I'd rather have even Bray Wyatt win this than Seth Rollins. But I'm going Rollins.
Just to comment on Seth Rollins, his finisher is fucking stupid.
What is his finisher now?
That's stupid. It's basically, do you know the Rainmaker that Okada does where he spins them out and clotheslines them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's that, except he does it with a knee. It's called the V-Trigger. I think Kenny Omega does it, and shit when he does it too.
It's too convoluted. Like, you wouldn't, you can't really suspend your belief that you can pull someone in and lift his knee that high up at the same time. It just doesn't.
And
you'd be off balance pulling them in if you had one leg in the air.
I get that the whole point was, see, Triple H, I don't need your fucking pedigree in this knee that's fucked up. It's my weapon now. Or you could have said, fuck you, I'm the Kingslayer, I'm taking your finisher.
At this point, why not, right?
Which would have been better because the pedigree is so much cooler. And nobody uses it anymore.
But maybe he can have Ric Flair help him start using the figure.
Careful, pop his own knee again.
I do agree with you, Tony, that I think Rollins is going to win this just because I think he's a babyface that could be fed to Lesnar.
At this point, he's the only one that's going to get a decent match out of Lesnar.
Yeah, at the moment. I think Reigns is too soon. I think Wyatt and Lesnar would be a terrible match.
Yeah. Samoa Joe would be intense, but it's just not going to happen.
They're not going to book it right.
Yeah, and I think it would probably push Joe back down, especially if he loses it.
Yeah, I can only see that match diminishing Joe.
The only way that match benefits Joe is if Joe wins, and that's not going to happen.
And like straight up choke the fucker out.
Yeah.
I like Cornette's suggestion. Build up Samoa Joe and have him in a submission match against Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. Or don't even do the submission match. Just have the two of them against each other. Joe versus Lesnar at WrestleMania could be a really, really good match.
Mm-hmm. My issue with that is that I think that Lesnar can only lose two more matches before he hangs up his boots. Because I think if he loses too much, especially after the Goldberg thing, it diminishes him too much. I think he only has two more losses left in him. And I think one of them needs to be against Reigns.
I'm kind of in agreement with that. I think Lesnar should only lose once a year, and if possible, not at all.
I'd agree with Reigns, but I think Joe wouldn't be a bad guy to have beat Lesnar, because Joe would be somebody going forward that can kind of fill that role a little bit.
My serious worry is, though, that they are going to... I think Balor's going to be one of the people that beats Lesnar eventually. Just because I don't like it, because I just don't think Finn Balor is charismatic enough or big enough, or even with his demon character, which hasn't even made an appearance since he's come back, it's probably going to make it first appearance.
They were so dumb pushing that demon character out straight away the last time.
It was ridiculous.
Every fucking week, the demon. No, the demon's meant to show up when it's his last fucking resort.
Yeah, and I think the demon lost a lot of its luster when he lost a match in NXT to Samoa Joe while in the demon character. The demon character should never be defeated, essentially. It should be something that has some sort of, not so much mystical, but put something into Finn Balor's psyche that makes him pretty much unstoppable or willing to go to any lengths to win.
I just don't know what it is with Finn right now. He just keeps falling flat with me. I don't know if they just need to reintroduce him, but they've got some serious work before he's ready to make some of it. Honestly, he'd benefit from being on SmackDown right now.
Plus, I think it kind of sucks that they don't change the makeup anymore. He's just the same one. It was like,
yeah, the whole
one that he did was when he was in London that one time and he was doing that whole Jack the Ripper thing. That was awesome.
Well, if you remember when he was coming to New Japan, when he was coming from New Japan, everyone was going to be like, oh, can he use the face paint? Can he use the face paint? Because he had these elaborate multiple designs of different super characters. And what's he doing now? Is it just meant to be like Venom? Ah, Venom.
Just Venom and occasionally like adds a bit of blue for the Spider-Man one. But it just... My issue with the demon character ever since it's appeared on WWE is it's no different. He uses the same exact moves that he uses as Finn Balor. Mm-hmm. The only difference is that he has a fancy entrance.
Doesn't cut promos, so you don't really get to see a different side of him. He's just a very...
Cut promos, it's still awful.
It's just Finn Balor right now. I don't know what's up with him.
I think they kind of thought he's... I think they think he's bigger than he is. Yeah. Not so much in size, obviously, but in terms of his popularity and his ability to capture people's attention.
Well, honestly, shit.
Paul
honestly,
put that promo and he's like, "You are the most gifted person on the roster right now." And I was like,
not really. Not even on the Raw roster.
You're bullshitting them, right, Heyman?
That kind of thing. I mean, that's clearly an attempt at desperation of trying to make him seem more legitimate than people are actually buying him at the moment. Just, let's get Heyman to say that he's great. People stop believing it then.
It's a shame. I was high on him for a long time, but that actually died before he hit the main roster for me. I was already kind of falling flat on him in NXT before the Joe feud.
Mm-hmm. When he first came in and people were like, Finn Balor's going to be the best and whatever like that, I was sort of like, I'll give him a shot. I don't really know anything about him, but I'm not seeing anything too fantastic about him or Hideo Itami. And then Hideo Itami kind of fucked off and did his whole multiple injury thing, and Finn Balor starts winning the title, and it was like, yeah, Finn Balor's one of the best guys that they've got at the NXT roster, but there's other people that are really good that are not getting a whole lot of attention. And that's when I started to come around to like, all right, I'll admit, wrong about the Revival, these guys are great. And then like, okay, there's this American Alpha group is working out a lot better than I thought it would. And then it ended up being a consistency where it was like every NXT show, the thing I was looking forward to the most was the tag team matches, not mm-hmm. Finn Balor.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking just talk back recently. You've got like two giant, like big men, and they ended up having a good tag match still. How the fuck? Oh, never happens. Yeah. Never happens in WWE.
Two big men that are relatively new and don't really know exactly what they're doing have a match with an injured guy and his tiny partner, and they have one of the best matches of the year. And it's like, and they follow it up from a match that is one of the best matches of the year also with the United Kingdom one, where it's like this fucking 100-pound dude against an ugly little chud of a Pete Dunne guy. And like,
like literally, if they had a bad match in the main event, you would have been going like, you get a pass.
But Finn Balor was a big fish in a small pond of NXT when NXT was still developing, and he was a novelty for about a year, and ever since then it's just been a bit like professing that he's great when he's not really anything special.
I think people do need to wake up to the true realization that just because you're a big star in NXT does not mean you can translate to the mainstream audiences, because it's quite apparent now there is two different audiences in WWE. There is the independent wrestler audiences that show up to the NXT events, and then the next night on a Sunday, it's a different audience.
There's the John Cena Roman Reigns crowd. And there's the Seth Rollins and AJ Styles crowd.
What's good about this, it shows that you can make a product for that crowd in big arenas, and they will come and fill it out. But it does make it apparent that a lot of those guys aren't going to transition to the main roster so well. And I think we're seeing it more and more. Guys like Bobby Roode are going to be okay. People like Finn Balor, not so much.
And I also think it's a mistake that they gave him the Universal Championship right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They should have had him go right into like the mid card. And he could have won an Intercontinental title. He could have won a United States title. And it wouldn't have been like too crazy. You know, a month into being on the main roster, he wins one of that. It's like, that's fine. Like, I mean, now, if Nakamura won the United States title, I wouldn't really bat an eye at it too much. But if Nakamura won the WWE title, I'd be like, whoa, whoa, fucking hold on a second here.
You know? Man, I'm getting such fucking 0406 vibes right now. It was right around the time when Triple H was just picking who he wanted in the main event with Evolution, and people shat on Orton when he first was in it. Even more so Batista. Batista got real hard. Yeah. And now you're seeing it again with the NXT guys. Triple H is picking who he thinks is next in line, and sometimes that's not always the case. He's had a good track record, so I'm going to give Finn a chance, but fuck me, they need to do some work.
And you know what the funny thing is? That people shit all over Roman Reigns for being shoved down our throats and being pushed so hard by the back. Finn Balor won the title on his like first month of being on the main roster.
And this was after beating Roman Reigns clean in a singles match on Raw.
Yeah, and has now been professed as Paul Heyman as the only person that could really beat Brock Lesnar, and people aren't jumping on him back as well, just because he's small and he wrestled in the independents for a while.
Yeah, people are really hypocritical when it comes to that. And you're going to see people, if he wins, they're going to be like, oh, I'm so glad that he won instead of the other fucking people. Then it's going to be like, he loses to Brock Lesnar, and they're going to go, why didn't he fucking beat him? And it's like,
but watch.
An eighth of his size.
If he wins the title, they'll turn on him.
Yeah, they will. Yeah, they will.
And if they make him the main guy, they'll really turn on him.
Well, then maybe we'll get some Roman Reigns cheers.
Feel bad for Roman. Dude's fucking legit.
Hey, he still needs some improvement.
Okay, you can say that about... You can say that about every single main event that isn't Randy Orton and John Cena.
Pretty much. Well, even Randy Orton.
And AJ Styles, I've thought as well.
I don't think he needs any improvement. He just needs to stop being fucking lazy. He's just ready to retire.
Orton, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Holly's promo this week was like, I don't even need to talk to you guys. I'm going to win.
He'd won the title too many times when he won it for his like eighth or ninth time. Now it's just ridiculous.
That drops a paycheck to him. I guarantee he's not even going to be around in 5 years. I wouldn't be.
Which is a shame because he's one of the only people that could come back for a nostalgia pop out of the current roster.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll stick around here and there, but I think he is going to be gone in a little bit. And you know what? Not SmackDown's problem to deal with, you know? But at least Monday Night Raw, I'm going to go with Seth Rollins for winning this and getting the title shot, at least right now. Maybe there's going to be some kind of news tomorrow or something like that that'll change my mind and whatever, and you'll see 10 different kind of predictions posts. But at least as far as Wednesday afternoon, Seth Rollins is my pick. Callum, who do you got?
I've got Seth Rollins, but on an outside bet, I think it might be Samoa Joe. So those are my two that I'm backing for this.
And Wego?
I've got Finn Balor. I'm a little hesitant, but it seemed like that's what they were setting up. We'll see if I'm right.
Haha, Bray. Nobody wants you to win. All right, everybody. That is our predictions breakdown for Extreme Rules 2017. Make sure you leave your comments below and tell us what you think is going to be happening on the card. And when you stay tuned later on this week on Sunday night when they actually do it on June 4th, then we're going to be doing our post-show review and recap podcast following that one. So you make sure you hit that subscribe button for the channel so that way you know when the video is up for that. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and do all that other kind of nonsense I usually say. The last thing for us to take care of is plugs on the opposite end of this panel. So Callum, anything you want to toss out?
You can follow me on Twitter at Wigmeister14 and make sure to keep reading all of the articles on SmackDown Moment, the Triple Threats, the Women's Wrestling Weekly, everything that's going out, any like one-off content that we have on there, just it's all good, so make sure you read it.
I gotta ask, are there 13 other Wigmeisters?
I have no idea. The 14 is a lucky number thing.
Okay, I'll let you off the hook then.
It's a sportsman thing. You know Thierry Henry from he was a striker for my favourite soccer team. So I'm saying soccer because we mostly have an American audience. So
I'm saying football.
Okay, that's the real sport.
It makes more sense to call it football.
It does.
As an ignorant American, I totally agree with you guys. And soccer makes more sense to be football because it's like you sock people. You fucking hit them. That should be soccer. And the one where you're using your fucking feet should be football. We are dumb when it comes to that shit.
Well, Callum, thanks for fitting the stereotype since I don't watch football.
I mean, someone's got to be the mm-hmm. British stereotype. I'll just be drinking my tea and singing our national anthem while watching the Queen.
But you are, as long as you're having your tea with some chocolate digestives.
Yay.
Oh, I saw something about digestives the other day, and I think it was like a BuzzFeed video or like a React channel thing or something like that, and it was just kind of like, these are digestives, and I'm like, I know them! Those are those weird fucking cookies that look good.
Oh, they're fucking great, but honestly, because I grew up with them, I never really put it into my mind that the names is kind of weird.
Yeah, It really is like shit cookies.
So if you like shit biscuits, you can follow me at Stephen Wago on Twitter. Stephen is spelled with a PH, Wago is WAGO, and until then, shit biscuits all around.
I thought you were going to go with until then, Godzilla.
Until then, Godzilla.
God save our father.
Alrighty, everybody, that has been another Smart Gal moment, and we are being counted out.